Comcast and AT&T know they don't need traditional pay TV anymore, but they do still need some sort of video offering. Is what they are doing in internet TV enough? Listen on to find out.
This week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me from End Screen Media. And Colin, most importantly, how are you guys doing out there in the Bay Area with these fires and smoke that we've been watching so closely this week?
Yeah, well, the fires continue, Will, although we're getting some containment. Those brave firefighters out there are doing their best, but the good news, at least for the Bay Area, is that the air quality is much better. Winds have shifted, and we can actually go out now without wearing an N95 mask, and it really is much better.
Well, you still need the mask for COVID, but I suppose if you're strolling the streets of your neighborhood by yourself, you're okay without the mask,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah,
those pictures were
scary.
They certainly were. Next week we have your conference, right? The Connected TV Ad Summit Virtual Edition.
Yes.
Will be starting.
Yes.
And that's shaping up to be a pretty good event.
Yes, at long last. This was originally supposed to be in New York on June 11th. Then I pushed it. I thought we'd be able to get it in live in September. Alas, that didn't happen. So now we're doing it virtually on Monday and Tuesday, the 21st and 22nd. We have about 40 speakers confirmed at this point. You are moderating one of the sessions focused on virtual channels and how the world of ad-supported is changing, and just covering a ton of ground. So we're really excited about it and encourage our listeners to register. It's complimentary. So take a look at, you can get to registration off of the videonews.com website. So looking forward to that. And today, looking forward to talking to you about an article that you wrote this week, which really highlighted why, as you put it, why Comcast and AT&T are indifferent to the legacy pay TV business, and again, highlighting the role of broadband. So go for it. Tell us why they're indifferent.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Both Comcast and AT&T were speaking at a conference this week. It was the Goldman Sachs Communacopia Conference, which was a virtual conference this year. And both AT&T CEO John Stankey and Comcast CEO Brian Roberts spoke at this conference separately, I might add. They weren't speaking together. And I just thought it was very interesting comparing the way the companies were treating video. They're both, in a way, they are following very similar paths, but there are some very important divergences, which I think we will highlight. The first thing that really stuck out to me is the very clear indifference with which both Brian Roberts and John Stankey are talking about and treating their traditional pay TV services. That came out really, really clear. And let's remember, between the two of them, they have 35 million traditional pay TV subscribers. So that's still a huge number of customers driving a tremendous amount of revenue. But both companies were really, it was really clear that they are just not that focused on that business anymore. And Brian Roberts, he described his, when he was asked about traditional pay TV, he said that the company was basically indifferent to if a customer wanted to take legacy cable TV or broadband with the new internet TV Flexbox. My suspicion is that he's actually not indifferent. He would much rather they took the Flexbox with their broadband, because that is, I think, much more in line with where the company is going, without question. And the other comments from Mr. Stanky, he said that the company will manage the two offerings as mature legacy businesses. Further, there have been, they went on to say that there have been rumors that AT&T is seeking a buyer for DirecTV, the DirecTV satellite business. Now, he didn't make any comment on those rumors in this conference, but he was talking about them as being legacy, really not a big focus. Again, all he wanted to do was talk about other video services, the other video services that the company is providing. So I guess that was the first thing. What was very clear from both of them, Will, is that they're just not really focused on their traditional pay TV business anymore. So that maybe we should stop there. And what do you think?
Well, I mean, for Comcast, this has been a sort of mantra that they've been saying for a while. It's not that, you know, it's not that they're, as you say, it's still a big business. It's not that it doesn't matter at all, but that the focus for them going forward is really on broadband and building out the services on top of that underlying broadband connectivity, whether it's Wi-Fi or security or family management, all the different IoT kinds of things that are most important to Comcast going forward. And boy, that came through also in spades, because Brian Roberts said that the company is expecting to add 500,000 broadband subscribers in Q3. That's going to be a record number of adds. And I thought that was a pretty impressive number also, given that my understanding was that Q3 was always heavily influenced by back to school. And with so many students not going back to their college campuses this fall, that 500,000 looks even more impressive. So it's a broadband world now, and that's really where both these companies are heading.
Yeah, I've noticed I'm in a Comcast area, and I've noticed that they are being very, very aggressive in pushing their broadband. I wish I could tell them to stop, but I must get mailers and and whatnot 2 or 3 times a week. I get people knocking on my door perhaps once a month or more, trying to get me to switch because I'm not a Comcast customer. So they're being very aggressive with this indeed, Will. I've got to tell you, though, their indifference to pay TV, their traditional pay TV, I totally get it. Look, it looks to me like both companies are making no money from traditional pay TV. I ran the numbers on Comcast's, from Comcast Financial. I've been doing this for quite some time and calculating out their video ARPU from the numbers that they give. And it's a really ugly picture. If you look at how much they're paying for content versus how much they're bringing in, well, back in, let's see, Q1 2016, they were getting about $82 a subscriber a month in average revenue and $43 of that went straight out the door to pay for content. And fast forward to Q1 2020, and they got about $90, so that's about $8 more. But the amount of programming costs increased to $55.60. So basically, the margin, they've seen a 6% reduction. No, sorry, that's a 9% reduction in margin over that very short period, just between Q1 2016 and Q1 2020. And look, it's pretty apparent that pay TV businesses just aren't making any money anymore. And that's, I think, why they are why Brian Roberts is relatively indifferent as to whether people take X1 TV or not, because they just don't make any money from it anymore.
Yeah, and the pressure's only going to continue to escalate on that, no doubt, as more of the SVOD and AVOD services launch. We saw this week the announcement of Paramount Plus, which is going to be the expansion of the CBS All Access service from Viacom CBS. And we also had a piece of news that I think was just a confirmation piece of news, but that there will be an ad-supported version of HBO Max coming also in 2021. So it's only going to get more competitive for video services going forward. And that high price of the traditional pay TV service, the multi-channel service, is that high price point is a tough one for people to swallow. So anyway, so that's really the main point, I think, right, as you're saying, is that it's hard for them to make money, and they've shifted their focus to broadband.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And by the way, I've got to say, come on, guys, can we come up with a different naming convention? I'm tired of all of these plus services.
I know,
ESPN
crazy.
ESPN Plus.
Crazy.
Paramount Plus, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, ESPN Plus. Come on, guys. Thank you. All I can say is thank you, Comcast and AT&T, for at least taking a different approach with HBO Max and Peacock.
I know. I'd love to see one of these services be called something minus.
Yeah.
that would get people's attention.
It sure would. But you know, I'm glad you brought up Peacock and HBO Max, because there is definitely a convergence between these two. HBO Max does not have a free tier. Peacock launched with a free tier and is doing very, very well. The company announced that they gained another 5 million active users since July. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty good going from 10 to 15 million in just a couple of months here.
That's signups, just to qualify. I think that's signups, not active
exactly
users.
Exactly right. So, yes, thank you for that qualification. When I said active users, I meant to differentiate. These are not subscribers to the premium tier. These are people that have signed up to use the service.
And we don't know how much they're actually using it. It's worth noting, not to throw any cold water, but I mean, a sign up is different than an active user.
You bet. So that's not exactly clear either. But we, HBO Max now is sort of backtracking and adding in a free tier. We're not quite sure what the configuration will be, but there'll be some set of content that's available for free. Probably not the premium HBO stuff. That will always require a subscription, but there will be an ad-supported tier coming out soon. And so the two companies really will have services that are quite similar. They'll have a reasonable set of content available free and an enhanced set that's available for subscription with ads in Peacock's case, and then without for an extra charge. So from that perspective, the two are quite similar. Where they're not similar is on what the other things that they're doing. So I mentioned Comcast's Flex, this Flex box, which you can get. It's based on Comcast's X1 video platform. So that's obviously a key strategy within Comcast's footprint. But what Comcast is actually looking to do is they're looking to take this X1 TV OS, and they're trying to get smart TV providers to use it to drive their televisions. Now, this is a strategy that's being taken by Roku and by Fire TV. Roku has been extremely successful with this. Most TCL smart TVs are now driven by Roku, the Roku OS. That has really helped drive the number of active users on the Roku platform. So that's been very significant, I think. And the reason Comcast is so interested in this is because they've done something, Roku has done something which Comcast would love to do. Comcast has spent decades paying programmers to carry their content and deliver it to consumers. And what Roku now does, and so does Fire TV, they actually get the content providers to pay them. They get a little cut of the subscription or of the ads for services that are on their box. So that really turns things on their head. That must look very appetizing to Brian Roberts, so that he can actually get people like Disney and all the rest, even AT&T, to pay him something to be carried in the Comcast X1 TV OS on smart TV platforms. Now, the desire to do that is one thing. Actually executing that Well, that's completely different. So maybe we should stop there and talk. What do you think? You think Comcast can become a competitor to Roku and Fire TV with X1?
I don't know. They've had some success licensing the X1 platform to other operators for set-top boxes, for advanced set-top boxes. This play in the connected TV space, or really the sticks and boxes, as you like to call it, that seems like a tougher challenge. It seems like they're coming pretty late to the game, and also with two, if not three, if you want to include Google in there with Android TV, three pretty big players already in the market trying to license their OSs to OEMs. So I don't know. That one remains to be seen. But I think your point about the positioning that they would love to have of being able to get a share of that direct-to-consumer revenue, as opposed from the content services, as opposed to having to pay to carry those channels within the multi-channel bundle, I think would be is certainly something that, you know, would be very appetizing to Comcast. It's a little bit like the premium cable business in a way, HBO, Showtime, Stars, etc., where for decades they've basically gotten a share of that monthly revenue to include those channels as an offering to subscribers. In fact, if you look at Roku and Amazon, they both, in fact, have that underlying free level of service, the ad-supported level of service, and then all these apps are basically like premium channels on top that they're able to promote through all the different elements of the UI. So I do think that model would be very interesting to Comcast. Getting to real scale with licensing X1 to OEMs is going to be a tough one. We'll have to wait and see how that one plays out.
Yeah, I agree. And when you think about it, they just don't have the number of the quantity of apps that I think they need to be really successful here. Roku, of course, has pretty much every app, although I will say they are missing Peacock and HBO Max at the moment. And the same for Fire TV, but those two platforms really do have pretty much everything else. So that's a very tall order, I think, for Comcast on X1. But you never know. They could get there.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth noting that X1 interface is really strong, and it's been strong for years. I think they really hit it out of the park going all the way back to the original launch of the X1 set-top box, their own set-top box, of course. I was one of the original subscribers and users of that, and it's only gotten better since. I now have a Flex box, which runs the X1 UI, and it's very strong. I just don't know how open or willing OEMs are going to be, given that Roku and Amazon and Google, for that matter, have been knocking on their doors now for years licensing the OSs.
Yeah, I agree. I want to take a moment to really take a look at what AT&T is doing, and it's really pretty different. Although AT&T is pretty indifferent to DirecTV and to UVerse, it has created this thing called AT&T TV, which is essentially DirecTV on broadband. So you now do not need, if you take this service, you do not need a dish or to have installation. It's a self-install kit. You get a set-top box. And what that does is it saves DirecTV the $600 or so subscriber acquisition cost that it traditionally faces. And what that really allows AT&T to do is to offer the same sort of bundles they do in DirecTV, but charge 30% less. So clearly the idea here is when somebody calls up to cancel DirecTV, which is the most expensive of the pay TV offerings out there and has suffered the greatest loss of all of the pay TV operators so far, AT&T can turn around and go, hey, you want to save money? Why don't you try AT&T TV? It's 30% less. You get the same stuff. Boom. And they can send them the set-top box and away they go. But here's what's really interesting about this, Will. Mr. Stankey was pretty clear how he views that service. He said he wants to drive as many customers to software ways of doing business with us in the pay TV market and give us a natural glide path to some of the other entertainment-based products. So what he's saying here is AT&T TV gives them something that they can offer to a customer that still wants multi-channel video, traditional pay TV, but wants to save some money. But that he sees that the real destination where everybody is headed is towards internet TV and an HBO Max type product. So he sees AT&T TV as a temporary product, a strategic product to help them help their customers progress towards where he thinks they're going to be, which is internet TV.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right, and better for AT&T to be able to hang on to those customers here in the interim rather than have them go and cut the cord and become OTT only users and have to try to win them back at some point when they're fully up and running with HBO Max. So I think it's probably the best strategy that they can pursue, although we've talked about it in the past, and the idea of renting that device, which is their model, I believe, right, for the AT&T now, that seems just so out of sync with the inexpensive stick and box market that we've talked about so many times in the past also.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, Will. And I got to say, one more comment on this before we go. Video is still an important part of the offerings from both AT&T and from Comcast. And the reason is it's such an anchor for other services. So, for example, for AT&T, being able to offer some sort of video in a bundle with broadband or with wireless service really helps anchor customers. And I think what both AT&T and Comcast has realized is that that video anchor does not have to be a traditional pay TV service. They can get the same impact on churn by offering other broadband and internet TV services to be subscribed to through the existing account. So I think that's one another reason why they're so indifferent now to their traditional pay TV services. They can get the same anchor effect in a bundle from an internet video delivered service as they can from a traditional pay TV service. So, you know, there we are. These guys are pivoting pretty quickly now to make all of their video IP delivered. Well,
yeah, if you don't think Netflix has had a huge influence on the direction of all these different companies, it's just amazing.
It is amazing.
Just amazing.
And in fact, I think we talked about this sort of, we've been talking about this sort of thing for years. And now, look, it's actually really happening.
So, it all goes back to Netflix. Absolutely.
It sure does.
All right, Colin, good chatting. And we'll see each other again on early next week for the Connected TV Advertising Summit. And we will see each other again later next week for our next edition of the podcast.
We will indeed.
Okay, Colin, stay well. And thanks, everyone, for listening on this week's edition of the Video News and Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.